Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the QB2 Experience. My name is Salvatore Stefanelli. You can find me on Twitter at 2QBFFB. I'm on the line with my lovely co-host, Jim Saunas. You can find Jim on Twitter at Jim, S-A-N-N-E-S. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
It's all good, Sal. I was a little bit worried for a bit there on Monday night about Sam Bradford potentially, it slowly accumulated points, but it ended up working out okay. So, I'm okay right now. How about you?
No, I'm doing pretty good. I think a lot of people were tilting the Alex Smith experience last week.
Sunday night, yeah.
Anybody who watched that game, and I actually did watch most of that game just for Alex Smith alone to see how he was going to produce. He has become someone synonymous with my name. Yes, indeed.
Right.
for good or bad reasons.
Right. It's all good with Alex Smith, though.
Right. But no, the reason why Jim mentioned Sam Bradford at the start of the intro is because Sam Bradford was one of our two recommended streamers of week four. We don't want to go a whole lot into recapping last week just because we feel the process is better used when we have misses.
Yeah.
So we can kind of recap what went wrong and why. So the good news is last week was actually a pretty good week for the podcast. All of our streamers scored at least 15 fantasy points, and they finished from QB6, who is Joe Flacco with 22.06 fantasy points, to Sam Bradford, who was QB17 with 15.08 fantasy points. But it was such a close week. Jim's got a good stat about what could have been with Sam Bradford.
Yeah, and looking at that game, the Vikings did generate three touchdown drives, which is what we want from our quarterback. And, he did have one touchdown, but if they had, instead of running one of those touchdowns in, if it had been a passing touchdown for Sam Bradford, then you just give him four additional points, and suddenly he's QB8, which really shows you replaceability of the quarterback, just because quarterback or touchdowns can be so fluky. I think overall this was kind of the median expectation for Sam Bradford. It was basically what I would have expected out of him for this game, but he really easily could have hit his ceiling had just one of those touchdowns turned into a passing touchdown as opposed to a rushing touchdown. And I guess that's kind of, we got the benefit of that from Joe Flacco instead, who had a rushing touchdown. So, we didn't get that for Bradford. He still ended up okay, but then Flacco hit his ceiling because of the Konami code for Joe Flacco.
That's it. Was his second rushing touchdown of the year, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, Jim just mentioned the replaceability of the position one quarterback league. So 10 quarterbacks last week scored 21 or more points, and a whopping 19 quarterbacks had at least 15 fantasy points. Now, that includes all of our streamers, like we mentioned. Just a quick recap. We had Sam Bradford, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Flacco. Then Dak Prescott, Alex Smith, Brian Hoyer, and Brock Osweiler. One quarterback who did not score 15 fantasy points. He didn't even score 10 fantasy points. And that was Eli Manning, who had, where am I looking at here? 8.44 fantasy points for Eli Manning, who was the QB20. I have it in my notes here. I should know this offhand. QB28 for Eli last week.
That's not great, Bob.
No, it's not great. I think the main culprit, like we talked about on last week's podcast, was the defense he went up against, the Minnesota Vikings, who have become quarterback kryptonite, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's similar to what we saw with the Denver Broncos both last year and this year, where no matter who it is, maybe you can start Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck or someone like that against them. But outside of that, you really don't want to use quarterbacks against the Vikings this year, basically under any situation. Note that Aaron Rodgers was fine against them. He wasn't, great overall back in week two. But especially when they're at home, I would be looking to avoid almost no matter what, because that pass rush is so good. Xavier Rhodes is healthy. Harrison Smith is good. Anthony Barr. They just have so much talent that this is not a unit that you want to attack in any way.
We said they're allowing 14 fantasy points per game, which is the ninth fewest in the league. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and Eli have been the last three quarterbacks they've faced. They've combined to throw one passing touchdown and four interceptions. Looking at the upcoming schedule, this week they have Brock Osweiler. Then they're on a bye.
R.I.P. Brock.
It's going to be interesting to see how he finishes in that, if he even finishes that game. It might I think they're the Tom Savage show.
Right. They're getting their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, back this week. So that'll help with Brock a lot, but I don't think it'll help enough to make him usable for fantasy.
And streamers are going to have decisions coming up after Minnesota's bye, because a bunch of QB2 types, Carson Wentz, whoever starts in Chicago, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Carson Palmer in week 11 is the first early roundish quarterback drafted that'll face them. But then again, it's back to streamers, Detroit, Dallas, Jacksonville, and then Andrew Luck against Minnesota in your fantasy playoffs. Let's see.
I may or may not have Andrew Luck on one season-long team, and I may or may not have just gotten very worried about that.
Well, do you want me to make you feel even more worried?
Oh, no.
He's got the Houston Texans in week 14.
Hey.
Yes. But hey, Oakland in championship week, if you make it that far.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Getting there might be tough, but if we get there, we'll be dandy.
This is just one interesting stat, just to keep going with the Vikings. I found that even though they only allowed one passing touchdown the last three games, they've allowed both Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton to run for a touchdown and at least 25 yards. I know Marcus Mariota had 19 yards rushing week one. It's something to keep in mind, maybe if you're like a mobile quarterback, that'll make you feel a little more comfortable starting the Vikings. But having said that, it's not really a defense I want to target with streamers going forward.
Absolutely not, no.
All right, but going forward, one thing we do want to do is keep going with this podcast. So we'll just go straight into our recommended streamers for week five. We're going to start off with Carson Wentz. We just mentioned he does have Minnesota coming up. But this week he has a much easier matchup. He is on the road with the Detroit Lions. Last I checked on the Number Fire DFS Daily Helper page, the over-under was 46. Philadelphia had a 25.5 implied team total, and they're favored by 3 on the road. That was an interesting one I found. So, Jim, how should the listeners feel about starting Carson Wentz this week?
Yeah, I think if you have to start Carson Wentz, it's not a bad thing necessarily because, I mean, you did mention the Vegas over-under there, Sal. The line is good. It surprised me, too, to see the Eagles favored by 3, but that defense does make that definitely a legitimate thing. I don't know, if I feel like they'll win by 3, but I do think that they should be at least respectable against Detroit. And the great thing about Detroit is that they are currently 32nd against the pass, according to Number Fire's metrics. They are dead last. We saw Brian Hoyer do well against them last week. They have now allowed 3 different quarterbacks to finish as top 7 weekly options against them. The only one who did not so far this year against Detroit, that is, that's Marcus Mariota, who we're just discussing. And he's had a disappointing year so far. He was QB8. And I think that might be around where the floor is for Carson Wentz, around that QB18 or so range, which really isn't bad. You never really want to start a rookie, especially on the road. But I think with Carson Wentz, given how he's done so far, I don't really have many objections to that. Looking at Number Fire's metrics for Carson Wentz, he is 3rd in overall passing efficiency, which is great, behind just Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Wentz's success rate is low. He's 24th in that category, which does give me the most pause of all this matchup for Carson Wentz. But I mean, with Ziggy Ansah not practicing again for Detroit today, on Wednesday rather, I think that this could be a defense to continue to target going forward, even if Carson Wentz, specifically, we may still have reservations about him. I think the matchup at least does make up for that in part.
Yeah, you mentioned 3 top 10 finishes to quarterbacks. 2 have been top 3. That was Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. Marcus Mariota was QB18, but even he threw 2 touchdowns against them and scored 17-ish fantasy points. So far on the year, they have allowed 12 passing touchdowns to only 1 interception. And they've allowed 2 games of 300-plus passing yards. We've seen that someone like Brian Hoyer, who many people might not really consider to be a good quarterback in real life.
Whoa.
Might be going out on a limb there.
No, you're right.
Okay, there we go. Even he put up almost 20 fantasy points against the Lions last week. So if you're looking for kind of like a floor, we've seen it with Marcus Mariota and Brian Hoyer, except, no, that floor, it's been a pretty high floor. It's an attractive floor, if you were to ask me. I know everyone, or not everyone, but a lot of people in the fantasy industry have been making note of, quarterbacks to start a career without an interception for the most amount of passing attempts, which is still Dak Prescott at number one. But Carson Wentz hasn't thrown an INT yet in 102 attempts. And like I mentioned, Detroit only has one INT this year in four games, and they're allowing the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks at a high rate of 24.6. No, high-ish over under, a high implied team total, favorite on the road, going up against a defense that's just bleeding points to the quarterback position. This just seems like a prime matchup for Carson Wentz to just keep building on his fantastic rookie start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the thing, too, about Wentz, if we're looking backwards, is that, his metrics are good right now. But two of those games came without Zach Ertz, who practiced in full on Wednesday. It looks like he'll be back on Sunday. And he was a big part of their game plan in week one. So another guy coming back, and the Lions have struggled mightily against tight ends this year. So I think getting Zach Ertz back is just another reason to have faith in Carson Wentz. Again, I still have reservations about him because of that low success rate. That's a big concern. Rookie on the road, but even with those concerns for me, Sal, at least I have a decent level of confidence in rolling out Carson Wentz for this week. How about you?
Yeah, no, I definitely would have no problem streaming Carson Wentz to my QB2 slot. I even tried to add him to a one quarterback league, but I wasn't high enough on the waiver priority.
I had the same thing, yeah.
You mentioned that, I know we're not a tight end streaming podcast, but I'm just looking at the numbers here. So far of the top 14 fantasy games from tight ends on the year, Detroit has allowed three of them. Jack Doyle, 15.5 fantasy points. Delanie Walker, 14.3 fantasy points. At Dwayne Allen, 13.3 fantasy points.
Yeah, and Zach Miller and Richard Rodgers both have touchdowns against them as well. They've allowed, I think it's six touchdowns to tight ends this year. I believe that's correct. It feels wrong, but it's correct. I'm staring at it right now, and they have allowed six touchdowns to tight ends in four games, which is somehow possible and somehow true.
So, yeah, the return of Zach Ertz definitely makes this matchup even more favorable for Mr. Carson Wentz. I'm not sure how sneaky or low-owned it would be in DFS, right, but a Wentz-Ertz stack is something to think about, too.
Yeah, I'm all about Zach Ertz this week. I would have a decent amount of exposure to him this weekend.
All right, so I think we're pretty set on Carson Wentz starting this week, so we'll move on to our next recommended streamer of the week. This one is something you're going to have to check out the injury reports during the week, because we're basically recommending whoever starts for the Denver Broncos, whether it's Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch. Last week, Lynch had to come in relief of Trevor Siemian. I think he played adequate. I felt like if he had to start, I'd have no trouble starting him. Luckily for him, he comes into what is possibly the best matchup for any quarterback streamer any week, is against the Atlanta Falcons. I'll go quickly over the numbers here. A 47 over under, 26.5 implied team total. Now, I'm not sure if that's the highest of the week. It has to be one of
them. For streamers, yes, it is. Yep.
For streamers, all right. And they're at home favored by six. Like, those are all favorable numbers for whoever starts a quarterback. We mentioned the matchup. Atlanta is allowing the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 26.3. Like, you're allowing almost 30 fantasy points per game to the quarterback position. Like, how bad of a defense are you?
No kidding. And the thing, too, is we talked about this. I think it was – no, I might have talked about it somewhere else. No, I was talking about Cam Newton a couple weeks ago. But the thing about looking at this defense is that those bad metrics have come when Atlanta has had leads. And generally, you expect a team with a lead to be less efficient passing the football. But that hasn't been the case against Atlanta, because right now they are 27th against the pass, according to Numberphire's metrics. And when you're 27th against the pass, even when your offense has had that, you know, has given you a lead as often as the Atlanta offense has, that says a lot about the talent on your defense. And there really isn't a lot to speak of here for the Atlanta Falcons, which is why I'd be cool with either Simeon or Lynch this week. You look back to last week, Atlanta, they were facing Cam Newton and Derek Anderson, and Cam Newton leaves. Derek Anderson comes in, and he finishes as QB19 for the week, even though he didn't start the game. And I know that that's partially because Carolina had to throw a lot to, you know, make up a deficit. And, you know, Derek Anderson really isn't a bad quarterback overall. But still, at the same time, that shows you how quickly they can give up points. And both Simeon and Lynch are capable guys to do that. If you look at their number fire metrics, Simeon is currently sixth in success rate. He is well above Carson Wentz in that stat. And looking at Paxton Lynch and his, you know, short exposure last week against a bad Tampa Bay defense, his per drop back efficiency was actually higher than what Simeon has for the year. So it doesn't convince me that Paxton Lynch right now is better than Trevor Simeon, but it does tell me that you give them this offensive line, this, you know, receiving core with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, it does tell me that against this Atlanta Falcons team, they're going to be able to move the ball and generate scoring drives. And even if that doesn't necessarily result in touchdown passes for them, it's going to give them chances to get touchdown passes. And I think that that's a big positive for both Trevor Simeon and Paxton Lynch. Right now, Simeon did not practice Wednesday, so they said that he doesn't need to practice to start, so I would continue to monitor that, but I think it doesn't look too great for Simeon. I mean, I know that there was positive buzz for him earlier in the week, but even if it is Paxton Lynch, I would have no reservations about rolling him out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a two-quarterback league and you already own Simeon, you should look into acquiring Paxton Lynch if it's possible. Highly doubtful in dynasty leagues, he should be owned 100%. But no, in a redraft league, which this podcast is, that's our target audience. He could be on the waiver wire because no one really expected him to start at this point. So you should be able to pick him up and at least give yourself some insurance in the chance that Trevor Simeon doesn't play. Just going back quickly to this Atlanta defense, if you combined Cam Newton and Derek Anderson's points last week, Atlanta has allowed the QB5, the QB4, the QB4, and QB3 in 4 weeks. That's four top five finishes to the quarterback position in the first 4 weeks. We mentioned Cam and Derek each finished as top 20 fantasy quarterbacks against Atlanta last week, which is, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling to think about it. If you were in a two-quarterback league, you could have started Cam Newton and Derek Anderson instead of two top 20 passers. I mean, no one has the foresight to do that, of course, but it's possible, and it kind of made me to go digging through the numbers to see when that might have happened before. And in 2013, two quarterbacks finished in the top 15 against the same defense as Russell Wilson, who was QB8, and Tavares Jackson, who was QB15 against Jacksonville in week 3 of 2013. So, I mean, that's kind of taking two QB to its limit there.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't consider Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian to be in the same class as, you know, the quarterbacks Atlanta has faced this year, which has been Drew Brees, James Winston, Derek Carr, and the aforementioned duo of the Carolina Panthers. But like I said, we combine Cam and Derek's points together, Atlanta has allowed 25, 25, 24, and 27 fantasy points in those four games. That's just like mind-boggling to think like how bad of a defense you are again. So, I mean, all the signs are pointing towards, you know, whoever starts at center for the Denver Broncos to have a good fantasy game. If we just go based off the numbers, the floor is QB3 and the ceiling is QB3 and the floor is QB5. So
I can roll with that.
That's something. And we've seen already Trevor Simeon's, you know, ceiling has been the overall QB1 in a week. So it's not out of the question, though. If that didn't happen before, we might kind of wonder, but we've seen that he can't produce in a good matchup.
Yeah, and I think that looking at all those factors, I think you mentioned it, Sal, last week on the pod. You mentioned about looking for a checklist for quarterbacks, and they really do check every single box. They are favored, they're at home, they're decent favorites too, which means that, you know, they really don't have that bad of a floor at all. I know that, you know, their ceiling might not be that great because they do tend to lean on CJ Anderson in the red zone, which I would expect them to do again this week. But, I mean, overall, I mean, these guys, you know, their floor is a lot better than you would think when you hear the names Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, and it's like basically the definition of a two quarterback life right there is when you're going to start Trevor Siemian, but then might have to start Paxton Lynch in this place. That's living the two QB life.
That's right why there. It's so much fun, though, right?
Exactly. I mean, you actually have choices, decisions right. to make. It's, you know. It's definitely a lot more challenging than playing in a one quarterback league.
Absolutely.
All right, so those are our top two streamers of the week. We can move straight into our next section, which, again, no, this is probably due to us both being either lazy or uncreative, maybe a combination of the both, but we still haven't come up with a name for this segment. So, yeah, again, anybody out there listening to the podcast that wants to have a segment named in their honor, come up with something creative. And we'll put you at the top of the list because if not, you're just going to be hearing us say, on to the quarterback we recommend benching for the week.
Yep.
And top guy, this probably shouldn't come as a surprise to people that listen to the podcast or, you know, hardcore fantasy football degenerates, but it's Matt Ryan against the Denver Broncos. So this is the flip side of, you know, the plus matchup that Trevor Siemian has against Atlanta. Again, we have a 47 over under. They have a low 20.5 implied team total, 6-point road underdogs. I'll just go quickly over the Denver defense stats so far this year. In four games, they have allowed the QB 10, QB 28, QB 25, and QB 23. The QB 10 finish was from Cam Newton. The other three outside the top 20 were Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, and Jameis Winston. So it's not really like they've been holding no bad quarterbacks to bad finishes. They've had pretty decent quarterbacks to go up against. Last year, they only allowed three top 12 finishes for all of 2015. That was Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger. So you can see they've had, you know, some success against good quarterbacks, and they've let some good quarterbacks have good fantasy finishes against them. Whether Matt Ryan is in that tier, it's kind of hard to say overall going long term, but right now he is the number one fantasy football quarterback, so I guess you could put him in that elite tier for at least the first 4 weeks of the year. How are you feeling about this one, Jim?
Yeah, I think that I don't know, you seemed hesitant on this one earlier in the week, and I think that you're kind of swinging me towards that way to bench Matt Ryan because, I mean, you look at what he's done these first few weeks, a lot of it is sustainable because Atlanta had issues on their offensive line last year. They brought in Alex Mack, the all-pro center from Cleveland in free agency, and it really seems as if he has made a huge difference up front for them. So I'm not saying that what Matt Ryan has done is unsustainable, but it's, you know, there are aspects of it that, you know, that lead us to believe that he may not be able to exploit a defense as good as the Denver Broncos. Denver currently is second according to Number Fire's metrics against the pass this year. They were first by a mile last year, and the only team ahead of them this year is the Philadelphia Eagles, and they've only played three games so far, so you wonder how much of that is just sample size for them. But overall, I mean, you know, Matt Ryan, three of those first four games have been in domes. They've had two home games and then one in New Orleans as well. His one other game outside was good, but that was against Oakland. And Oakland is pretty far down on the totem pole as it relates to, you know, opposing efficiency. So I don't blame you at all if you want to use Matt Ryan in a two quarterback league this week against the Denver Broncos. I just think that there are better options. Like, if we're talking about our streamers, I would absolutely use Carson Wentz over him. And the same thing would be true for Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, too. If I had, you know, a combination of those three guys with Matt Ryan, I think, for me personally, at least, Matt Ryan would be the guy who I would be benching. But, Sal, you actually had a different little spin on this, too, that I thought was very interesting as far as who you were hoping to bench for this week in Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford was a name I had kind of originally circled as the one to bench just because I felt like Matt Ryan is going to be someone everyone's already considering benching in that matchup. And I think most people kind of want to, you know, start Matt Stafford this week. So his matchup this week is against the Philadelphia Eagles, who Number Fire has as their, I know you work for Number Fire, but
yep, they are number one.
Number one, like, I mean, I don't think anybody really imagined that in the offseason going into the year that the Philadelphia Eagles, after the first 4 weeks, would have the number one defense in the league. And that's according to a very analytics-heavy website like NumberFire. So we have to take those numbers at face value.
I have to, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to keep your job, I think you kind of have to.
My best interest. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see this week whether that Philadelphia defense is for real. Because, you know, the first 3 weeks, the competition hasn't been, it hasn't been the toughest. we could use words that would diminish the offenses they played against, but we'll keep this a family-friendly show. But, no, so far the Philadelphia defense has held quarterbacks to the QB29, QB30, and QB28 finishes. The quarterbacks they faced, there's RG3 in week one, who got beat up and then ended up being out for the year. Week two was a combination of Jay Cutler and Brian Hoyer. And week three was Ben Roethlisberger. So that's the one that kind of sticks out to me. Now, Philadelphia has allowed the fewest points per game to quarterbacks, 7.2. If you look at it from a game-by-game basis, no one has scored over 10 fantasy points. So RG3 actually leads the pack with 9.3 fantasy points. The Bears quarterback duo combined for I'm not sure what's on my mind right now. the Bears quarterback duo combined for 5.4 fantasy points. And then Ben Roethlisberger, 6.98 fantasy points back in week three. The Lions are at home, but they're underdogs, 3.5. So this is basically a pick 'em game from the Vegas standpoint. They have a low 21.5 implied team total. Eric Ebron is likely going to be out for this game. Marvin Jones popped up on the injury report with a different injury than he had the week before. So, I just look at all those factors, and to me it seems like this is a game that Philadelphia could control and that would find that Matt Stafford might not be able to rely on pass volume as much as he would like to, which we like in fantasy purposes because they can keep passing and keep scoring fantasy points. But to me, this just seems like Matthew Stafford is one of the higher-endish quarterbacks that I wouldn't want to start this week. I might be on an island alone on that one, but that's just what the numbers were pointing towards.
Yeah, and I think your process on that is great. And the other thing, too, if I'm, supporting your claim here, is that, a big part of what Stafford has done so far this year is the Detroit offense has one of the faster paces in the entire league. According to Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus, they have the highest no-huddle rate in the league. I believe it's them. But the problem is that if we look at the first 3 weeks, nobody has a slower pace in the entire league overall, just, seconds per play, than the Philadelphia Eagles. So what that does is it's going to take away the advantage that Stafford has when it comes to pace. So I'm coming around on this one. I still like Stafford an okay amount because, like you said, he's at home and it's indoors. And I generally prefer quarterbacks who are indoors just because scoring is traditionally higher there. But, if Marvin Jones is dinged up, if he can't play on Sunday, which doesn't seem to be, likely, but it could happen, then that's going to be some really dangerous waters for Matthew Stafford for sure. And I would definitely be pretty wary about putting him in my lineups at that point.
I mean, this is an offense that's just dinged up everywhere. Let's say worst case scenario, Goat Jones is out. Eric Ebron is out. Dwayne Washington is nicked up too as well.
The best running back in the league.
So you're looking at an offense that goes from Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron, to one that's going to have Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin as their top receivers. someone or something called Cole Wick at tight end.
I don't think that's a real name. That can't be a real name.
I know they just signed Clay Harbour, but again, I'm not sure if that's
name
even
the past.
If that's better. Yeah. and Theo Riddick and Zach Zenner, it's like if that is to happen, it just would make me want to avoid Stafford even more.
Yeah, it's trending down for me for Stafford as well. I think that initially I was on board with starting him, but the more I think about it and the more we read these injury reports, his situation really doesn't look that good.
So it's going to be a battle of the Mets as to see who is the worst fantasy quarterback this week. And next week, whoever introduces a podcast will be the winner of this battle.
Okay. I like it.
All right. So that ends our segment of quarterbacks we recommend benching this week. Again, we don't really have a clever name for it, so we'll just move on to one that we kind of do, which we've stolen from many, many people over the years, is the rapid fire section. This, as you know, for people that listen to the podcast regularly, is the quarterbacks we like who we feel can be adequate QB2 streamers that we just don't love as much as the guys we start the show off with. We'll start off with someone we've recommended on this podcast almost every week, I want to say. I know if I was if I had a big ego and wanted to listen to myself talk, I would have went back through the podcast and checked the stats, but I didn't. So we're just stuck with me pretending to know what I'm talking about. But no, that's just one long-winded way of saying Joe Flacco versus Washington this week. 45 over under, 24.25 implied team total, 3.5 home favorites. So those are all good things. So I'll let you talk about the reasons why we want to play Joe Flacco. And then after, I'm going to talk about some reasons maybe why we shouldn't be as high on this matchup as we think we are.
I like that. All right. So looking at why I like Joe Flacco, I know that overall this year, he hasn't been great. He has had a lot of good matchups, hasn't really pulled through. But overall, even with those concerns, he is still – his worst finish this year is as the weekly quarterback 23, which, you know, I'll take. I think that's a fine floor to have. The worst weekly finish against Washington so far is also quarterback 23. Now it's Cody Kessler, a third-round rookie for the Cleveland Browns last week. Every other quarterback against Washington has been a top 16 passer. Again, it kind of implies that teams have a good floor against Washington. Like Sal said, the Ravens are favored in this game. They are at home, which is generally the situation where we prefer to have Flacco. And even though they did add Josh Norman in the offseason, Washington is still 31st against the pass, according to Number Fire's metrics. So for me, at least, this one doesn't quite check as many boxes as Carson Wentz does, because, you know, he's I'm worried about Flacco in this offense in general, but I guess I'd be cool with it. Sal, what's your line of thought on this one when it comes to Joe Flacco?
I mean, like, I still think I'd be okay starting Joe Flacco. I know I've got him going in the league right now in a one quarterback league. But no, we mentioned the matchup. It's good. No, though, we said the finishes were QB9, QB16, QB15, QB22. But if you look at the fantasy points, it was, you know, almost 22 points to Ben Roethlisberger, just a shade over 18 to Dak Prescott. No, Eli Manning was still quarterback 15, but was able to put up 14 fantasy points. And no, 11 fantasy points from Cody Kessler with a QB22 finish might not rock your world, but no, it is Cody Kessler we're talking about there. So I feel like that could be considered a success for him. But yeah, there's two things that were kind of catching my eye in this matchup. And one, it's something you've talked about before on this podcast, and it's the win factor. I was looking at the Number Fire DFS helper page. At the time, this game had a projected wind speed of 15 miles per hour.
Ooh, that's danger zone.
And I know based on your feeling, it's like 10 miles per hour is when you get concerned. So I can't even imagine what you're going through right now with this being 15 miles per hour.
Yeah, 15 is bad. That's bad.
So if you tack on that it's a windy game and that Washington has just been brutal to stopping running backs this year, you look at the numbers, this is standard scoring. They allowed the overall number one running back in week one, D'Angelo Williams, RB 13, Ezekiel Elliott in week two, Shane Vereen and Orleans
great Darkwa. Name he sounds like what's that show, is Duck
Darkwing
a Duck?
Duck
show, yeah, Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck is what always comes to mind. But as I said, him and Shane Vereen combined to be the fantasy RB3 in week three, and Isaiah Crowell was the RB3 last week. So out of 4 weeks, that's three top three running back finishes allowed by the Washington defense. So I feel like, we talked about it before, how we always kind of wanted Joe Flacco to have a running game to support him so that the defenses didn't always know that they were going to pass on every play. And maybe it happened last week with Terrence West emerging. His 21 attempts were the most by a Baltimore running back in any game this year. And He was pretty efficient running the ball, too. He had a great, not great, but he had a decent fantasy game. So I think those combinations combined, no high win, Washington not being able to stop the run, that this could be a game where Baltimore just sees what they have in Terrence West. Kenneth Dixon might even suit up this week for a 1-2 punch, where they just rely on the running game rather than the passing game, where in that could limit Joe Flacco's pass attempts, which would limit his opportunities for fantasy points. I know he has 2 rushing touchdowns, so maybe he just becomes the red zone threat.
Right. He is the ground game.
And all this is for naught. But no, this is probably a reason why I like Joe Flacco this week, but I don't love him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And if the wind speed is at 15 miles per hour Sunday, then I wouldn't love him at all. I would hate him quite a bit at that point. So I would check back on that wind speed. If it is 15 miles per hour on Sunday morning, then not only would I be hesitant about Joe Flacco, but I couldn't start, Steve Smith. I'd be worried about Dennis Pitta. Same goes for DeSean Jackson, too, on the other side. That wind speed of 15 miles per hour is well above the danger zone.
Yeah, so that's something you're going to want to check in on Sunday morning. We put the link in the show notes, but it'll be up on the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Helper. That's something you want to keep an eye on. I just have my eye on the game right beside it. It's the Thursday night game, Arizona, San Francisco, and that's at 9 miles per hour wind, so that's another one to keep an eye on.
In the high-powered passing attacks of Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton.
Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton. I think we were going to leave this one for later in the episode, but now that I mentioned this game, it's probably a good segue. We didn't have him listed in our show notes earlier. This was something I kind of just sprung on Jim at last second because he's a pro and he can handle my whims like this. But for two quarterbackers out there that don't have any options, like their quarterback might be on a bye, might be injured, there's nobody on the waiver wire to pick up. No, we have a light at the end of the tunnel with Drew Stanton starting this week. So maybe a Carson Palmer owner, too, who needs a little bit of a boost. But no, Drew Stanton's going to be starting this week, Thursday night football against the Arizona Cardinals. It doesn't really scream like a matchup you want to have any part of. I don't think he'll be watching it, so it's going to be something you might just follow along on the box score. But so far this year, San Francisco is allowing the 14th most fantasy points to quarterback at a rate of 17.1 per game. If you were to add just 0.8 of a point to that total, they would go from 14th to 11th, so a top 12 fantasy defense target for quarterback streaming. They've allowed finishes QB32, which was Casey Keenum, and 2.20 fantasy points. But after that, it's been 3 straight QB12 finishes allowed. QB1, Cam Newton, QB11, if you combine Russell Wilson and Trevon Boykin's points in week 3, and QB10 last week to Dak Prescott. So that's 3 straight top 12 performances. And if we look at Drew Stanton's history against San Francisco 49ers as a member of the Arizona Cardinals, this goes back to 2014. Stanton faced the Niners in week 3. He threw for almost 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, wasn't picked off, added 16 yards on the ground, scored almost 20 fantasy points that week, and was the QB9. Now, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that Drew Stanton is going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback against San Francisco 49ers this week, but I honestly can see top 15.
Yeah, it's possible. And first of all, just kudos to you, Sal. This is why people listen to you, because I never would have even thought to dig up stuff on Drew Stanton. I would have written it off, but that pace of San Francisco. So, if you're setting the bar at top 15, I think, it's possible I wouldn't touch him, but if you are a Carson Palmer owner or a Cam Newton owner and you need to do something, you could do worse, I guess, against that defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a last resort, because this week, if we're looking at quarterbacks who might be getting their first start of the year, it's possibly Derek Anderson, Paxton Lynch, and Drew Stanton is a certainty. No, we don't know if Lynch is going to start. We don't know if Derek Anderson is going to start. So Drew Stanton might be the only quarterback left standing on your waiver wire who is actually going to be throwing passes, guaranteed this week. Like I said, we saw Casey Keenum score a whole whopping 2 fantasy points, that was the QB 32 in week one. That is very well within the range of Drew Stanton's possible outcomes. But, I mean, just looking at what San Francisco has done this year against quarterbacks, like, okay, it's Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, and Dak Prescott. So, I can't put Drew Stanton in that tier either. But you mentioned the pace. We've seen what they've allowed to quarterbacks this year. We've seen Drew Stanton in the past, put up a respectable fantasy game. So it's just something to keep an open mind on this week.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that, we do look back to 2014, but those were different circumstances for Arizona. John Brown seems to have emerged since then. Larry Fitzgerald has, kind of come back as well. Part of that is due to Carson Palmer. But the weapons around him, including David Johnson, they're not bad. So I think we talk a lot about situation, Sal. His situation now is better than it was when he last started back in 2014. So, you could do worse, I guess.
So we'll just leave it at that. You can do worse. No need to add to that. Right. So we'll go back to our rapid fire section. This one is Brian Hoyer against Indianapolis Colts. 47.5 over under. That's a spicy one right there. They're 4.5 road underdogs. Implied team total 21.5. That's not the juiciest. We wouldn't mind seeing that a little bit higher. But the matchup looked good against the Indianapolis Colts. In four games this year, the Colts have allowed two top four finishes. They're currently allowing the ninth most fantasy points to quarterbacks at a rate of 18.6. If we look back at Brian Hoyer's fantasy stats since week one of last year, he scored 17 or more fantasy points in 8 of his 13 games. And that's including the last 2 weeks where he's finished as a top 12 fantasy quarterback in back-to-back weeks. You might not really think of Brian Hoyer as someone who is a good quarterback. We mentioned that earlier, but in fantasy football, that doesn't really matter. So, Jim, what do you think about this matchup?
I like it a lot. I think that you were talking about DFS earlier. I think the Brian Hoyer is super interesting for that. The Colts are 28th against the pass, according to NumberFire. And that has actually trended the wrong way ever since Vontae Davis got back. You had mentioned, Sal, too, that they've had two top four weekly scorers against them. And both those guys were also underdogs. So it's not a situation where negative game flow is necessarily a detriment for Brian Hoyer. He does lose Kevin White for this week, and that's obviously tough. Zach Miller and Eddie Royal were both limited or out in practice on Wednesday. So if they're out, then I'd bump Brian Hoyer down quite a bit. But I think that he's in a fine matchup here. His floor is lower than the other guys, but his ceiling is higher than Joe Flacco's. It's probably roughly the same spot as Trevor Siemian, Joe, and Paxton Lynch. May actually be higher than their ceiling. And so I think if you're going for upside, Brian Hoyer is a fine play. I like him quite a bit this week. I would just adjust that expectation if he doesn't get, Zach Miller and Eddie Royal out there. And then who would have thought we'd be talking about Eddie Royal as a person affecting our streaming decisions? But he does have an effect there. So I think that Brian Hoyer is a good play. You were talking, Sal, about his real-world quarterback abilities. He's actually been more efficient than Jay Cutler. If you look back over the last 3 years, his per-dropback efficiency, according to NumberFire, he adds 0.09 points per dropback, expected points per dropback, whereas Cutler, since the start of 2014, is at 0.05. So, overall, Brian Hoyer isn't great, but he's good enough to be a fantasy-relevant quarterback, especially in a plus matchup like this.
Yeah, and as of now, it doesn't really seem to be trending upwards for Jay Cutler to start. It's something you are going to have to check on the injury report later in the week just to make sure that Brian Hoyer is starting. But as of now, all signs are pointing towards him starting. So that then brings us on to our last rapid-fire recommendation of the week. We've talked about him, I guess, more than you would expect us to throughout the course of this podcast. But that is Derek Anderson going up against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This game is on Monday night, so we still are going to be waiting an extra day to find out if Cam Newton will be playing or not. So because of the Cam Newton uncertainty, this being a Monday night football game, we don't have any lines for this game yet. I'm no Vegas bookmaker, so I can't predict anything. But I was looking at the number fire page, and at the time, it did have Cam Newton projected for 23.4 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. This is against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that has allowed the following finishes on the season: QB6, QB6, QB16, and QB15. And they're currently allowing the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks at a rate of 19.9 points per game. So the numbers are showing that if Derek Anderson were to get started this week, he'd be a fine streamer to put into your lineup, I imagine. That, you know, he's not going to be Cam Newton-esque, but we saw in a short amount of time from him being in a trailing position how he was able to put up points last week. So we could see the possibility of him, you know, on the flip side of that, where Carolina could be leading this game on the arm of Derek Anderson.
Yeah, and the thing about Anderson, too, is that he may not be Cam Newton, but he's a good quarterback. And this is going back to 2014. If we look at NumberFire's metrics, he was actually the most efficient passer in the entire league in 2014 based on NumberFire's metrics. Of all guys with at least 100 dropbacks, he had 101, I believe, that year, if we do sacks and attempts. So he was really good in that time filling in for Cam Newton. And this year, too, it's the same thing. His success rate on Sunday, which is the percentage of plays on which he adds to the team's expected points, it was 54.2%. League average for a quarterback is around 50%, so he was above that. And Cam Newton this year is at 41.1%. So, you know, Anderson's above average, and he's well beyond Cam Newton. This year, again, I'm not saying he's better than Cam Newton. Not deranged, but, you know, I think that there are reasons to believe he can be a quality, competent NFL and fantasy quarterback. So for me, if we got the word on Saturday, let's say, when the injury reports come out for Monday, that Anderson will start for the Panthers, then I would bump him up quite a bit. I'd be willing to start him in a good number of lineups. I think that'd be totally fine. I don't have a lot of concerns about his talent. Tampa Bay, like you said, Sal, not very good. 24th against the pass, going on the road now. So for me personally, if Derek Anderson starts, I think he is a really good streaming quarterback.
Yeah, and this is a souped-up version of Drew Stanton, because we've seen Derek Anderson have to play in this offense before in replacement of Cam Newton. So going back again to the 2014 season, week one, Derek Anderson was the QB9, put up 18.2 fantasy points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's a good
one. Of course.
230 yards, 2 touchdowns that week. And then he also had to relieve Cam Newton later on in the season. Okay, this is just, I didn't even look at these stats before I came on the show. This is just,
is it Tampa Bay again?
It's Tampa Bay again. Tampa Bay week 15, 2014.
Of course.
And that week, he actually improved his numbers. No, it was QB7. Scored less fantasy points, so 16.48. 277 yards and 1 touchdown. So in 1 year, Derek Anderson faced Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice and was a top 9 quarterback in both games. And we've seen what Tampa Bay has allowed quarterbacks to do this year against them. So it's another favorable matchup for another backup quarterback that could potentially be starting this week.
Yeah, I think, and we talk again about situation, and his situation is very good. I know that Michael Orr has been out, which is a tiny bit worrisome, but he wasn't having a great year before he got hurt. So, you know, I think that this is a spot where he could do really well. And, you know, I guess it's the narrative there, Sal, about the Tampa Bay defense. So, you know, Derek Anderson owns their number. We'll go with that. That's our justification. No facts, no data necessary. He just owns the Tampa Bay defense.
So for anybody out there listening to this podcast who, let's say, has to start Drew Stanton and Derek Anderson in their fantasy lineup this week, please screenshot us your roster before and after, because we would just like to see, you know, if this experiment works, because we're in week 5 of the NFL season, and we just recommended Brian Hoyer, Drew Stanton, and Derek Anderson as quarterback streamers, 3 guys that weren't even starting week 1.
Well, recommended is a very loose word for Stanton. You gave a lot of very good background info on Drew Stanton. How about that?
If this was one of those, like, TV betting shows that had this segment, this would be like, this is Sal's lock of the week. Right. And then we'd have like the graphic come up behind me. I'd be sitting at a desk with like a big puffy Greek mustache and a cigar. Yeah. I'm like, just listen to me, Jim. This is what's going to happen. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we don't have the funds for those types of graphics. And plus, this is an audio podcast.
You're going to have me rooting for Drew Stanton tomorrow night. That is so upsetting. I did not expect this to happen during my week. Well, hey, I drew for him now, though. I have to.
I mean, when we don't have Alex Smith to talk about, we have to come up with something.
Right. So it's Drew Stanton. He's our muse this week.
It's Drew Stanton week on the QB2 Experience podcast.
And there's no hope of Julian Edelman anymore. So, yeah, it's all aboard the Drew Stanton train.
All right. So basically, everybody start Drew Stanton and Eric Anderson in your fantasy lineup. Pretend that we didn't say anything else about any other quarterbacks, and we would just end the show right there. But we are kind of professionals. I mean, like, I've learned how to edit a podcast, so that gives me one more skill on my resume. So we'll end out the week just as a quick recap of, you know, quarterbacks we like. Carson Wentz and whoever starts for Denver, be it Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch. Guys we like but don't love as much as the two we just mentioned is Joe Flacco, Brian Hoyer, Derek Anderson. I'll take on the Drew Stanton recommendation. Jim can just be on the side there rooting for it to happen, but wouldn't
rooting
be,
vehemently though. Rooting, no, I'll be going hard.
He wouldn't be heartbroken if Drew Stanton finishes as a quarterback 32. We'll put it that way.
I would be for you. I would be for you. That would break my heart. Yes,
I've recommended worse quarterbacks in my fantasy career, and you know, for people who do follow me on Twitter would remember that I just threw out this article from my first year writing in the industry back at the XN Sports, where it was Drew Stanton was one of the very first quarterbacks I ever wrote about.
Really?
For XN Sports in my two quarterback writing career. For some reason, it was like a 20,000 word article. I may be exaggerated a little bit there, but there's a lot of words written about Drew Stanton, who the very next day when the article was published, the team had traded for Carson Palmer.
So, that's perfect.
So maybe there's a reason why I kind of root for Drew Stanton, but no.
Right. He's your boy.
But like I said, no. So Drew Stanton is another name we just threw in the podcast who you might want to start this week. And then going back to the quarterbacks, we think you should consider benching this week. That's Matt Ryan. And again, I'm on the Matthew Stafford benching train. I think I might have gotten Jim to come around. He's on the fence.
I'm coming around. Yeah, it's still a work in process. I might get there before Sunday.
I think maybe Sunday morning you could be rooting for Matthew Stafford to be benched more than anything could happen. And like that, we want to thank our fine listeners for being out there, checking out the podcast, supporting the website the podcast is hosted on, which is 2QBs. You can find the podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes. We wouldn't hate you if you rated and reviewed it, but we'll still love you even if you don't. For myself, I'm Salvatore Stefanelli. You can find me on Twitter at 2QBFFB. You can find my writing during the week at 2QBs.com. And Jim, why don't you close out the show by letting the fine people know where they can find you.
Yeah, I am at Jim Sanes on Twitter, at JimSanes, and all my work is up at numberfire.com.
Perfect. All right, everybody out there, have a good week, and a happy streaming.